You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Sai.
And I'm Sean.
And we are the writers and producers of
Sean and Sai's Variety Live on Facebook Live.
And you're listening to the Afro Existential Podcast
on the Broadway Podcast Network.
Perfect! One rehearsal, one take sound. Gotta love it.
We should have said, we welcome y'all to Sean and Sai's Variety Live.
Hello and welcome to the Afro Existential Podcast interview series entitled Creating Art in Crisis. I'm Blaine Teamer, and along with co-host Indira Wilson, we're exploring and sharing with you how these unprecedented times are affecting creativity and how artists and art organizations are finding solutions to take their creative efforts to the next level. In this episode of Creating Art in Crisis, we speak with Sai Smith and Sean Carter Peterson, the creators, writers, and producers of Sean and Sai's Variety Live on Facebook Live. We'll talk about how the husband and wife duo created their own variety show from home during quarantine and the lessons they learned along the way.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we invite your apprehensive listening.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Afro Existential Podcast.
Finally, finally, we're in 2021.
Woo! You made it back here. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Good to see you, too, and good to still be doing the Afro Existential Podcast.
Hallelujah.
So, guys, we have a new segment for 2021, and it's a little game that Blaine is calling.
What? What is it?
Here he comes from the Snooty Fox Dinner Theater in El Segundo, California. It's time for the Afro Existential Podcast game show, where knowledge is power. Would you rather?
What are you talking for? What's wrong with you?
Sparkle or mahogany?
Oh, mahogany? That's like my favorite movie of all time. I cannot get enough. As a matter of fact, that's going to be what I'm going to watch tonight is Mahogany. I laugh. I cry. I am with her. I came to get my man, whatever she says. You know, Billy Dee Williams is fine as wine. You know, I am so there for Mahogany. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Over Sparkle. I didn't put the whiz in. I put in Sparkle. I didn't know how you felt about Sparkle. The original Sparkle with Irene Cara.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, good, great movie, of course. But no, Mahogany. Mahogany. Diana Ross.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I told you we were going to remake that movie with you, and we're going to call it Birch. That's Birch. Only funny if you know what, if you know how light Indira is. We're going to call it Birch.
Google me. Google me. You can truly see how correct he is. Pine.
Pine?
Oh my God. Okay. Pre-stained, pre-stained wood.
Stacey Ladisaw, show Pepsi Riley.
So hard, but so hard. Oh, I'd probably say show Pepsi Riley.
Really?
Yeah.
I only know that one song. This is not my child.
Cheryl Pepsi Riley is a sneaker because it's so many songs that you don't. First of all, Baby Doll went with Pepsi as her middle name. Some family member called Cheryl Bridget Riley Pepsi, which just, you know, you just killing it. You killing the game already. If Pepsi.
Number one. You're number one.
Girl, no, I don't have no nicknames like Pepsi. I mean, you know, and you don't have no choice but to grow up like. My name is Cheryl, but they call me Pepsi. You know what I'm saying? That's like being called Niecy or Peaches. It's great. It's great. And your name is nothing close to Niecy or Peaches. Let's see. What I'm saying.
You're not looking up her catalog, are you?
Right. Thanks for my child.
That's it.
It's not. I'm just trying to remember, Cheryl. Don't call this podcast. Y'all don't add us. You know, I don't want to hear it. But you know what? You can't email me. You can't email us or hit us up on Instagram. Let us know what your Cheryl Pepsi Riley song is, whichever.
It's your favorite Cheryl Pepsi Riley song.
But I'm honestly going to stick with
okay.
it. Because the Pepsi part.
Okay. Okay, here's another. A backup dancer for Beyonce at Coachella, 2018, or a backup dancer for Josephine Baker at the Folies Bergère, 1918.
Ooh, hunty, Josephine Baker. Josephine Baker, just Josephine Baker, banana strapped on. Yes, Josephine Baker.
I found love on a two-way street, or it takes two to make a thing go right.
This, wait, you talking about it takes two to make a thing go right? Like the Rob Bay song?
Yeah, or I found love on a
two-way street. Or Stacey Lattis song. Oh, it takes two to make a thing go right. When that song came out, I harassed my grandmother for weeks that I needed to have a party. Like, there wasn't even any, that's all I knew, is that it takes two, and I needed to be doing, you know, I had to be dancing. And my grandmother finally relented. I was not a birthday party having kid. You know, this lady wasn't throwing parties every week for me, right? So random party, not my birthday, had to happen because raw basis, it takes two to make a thing go right. Okay. So I harassed her, and then she let me have a party and would only let me have it in our basement, which we had these cement stairs down to the basement. In Ohio, and I had an Ohio basement. We didn't have one of these remade Atlanta basements. We had a
cellar. It was like a cellar.
It was beyond a cellar. You know what I'm saying? It was concrete floors. It was meant to catch the water draining from the washing machine. My mama probably had wash going during the completely exposed cobweb ceilings. This is all coming back to me. We had a boom box. playing tapes, right? And then she would only let people come through the concrete stairs down into the basement. I don't know how long it was, but people came to this party in my basement. It's the craziest thing. And like, our old furniture was on the other side of the stairs. You know how the stairs came down from the center of the house. So you had the one side with the furnace, right? That I think I made into like a little party pad, you know, a little party pad. And I will play down there. I will play in this old ass basement. And then on the other side with the washing machine and the boiler was the dance floor.
That shocked the house for all the young ladies.
Hey! I mean, you remember this? I can't remember what it was called. This is due to make a thing go right. I want parties.
Clap your hands.
Oh my God. I would be dancing. I mean, you know, the running man, the hold the leg. Let's turn this function out. We was kicking it. We was doing it because of raw basis, it takes two to make a thing go right. I could sing it. I know the whole song. Verbatim.
So you're saying your choice would be it takes two to make a thing go right?
No. Yes. Oh my God.
Now that you have heard the story.
They're here. Hey, Cy and Sean, you guys, welcome to our virtual event.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
We are so happy to have you guys here. You have no idea.
No, we wanted you guys to join us this evening because this evening is all about creating art during crisis. We know that a lot of people, a lot of artists are stuck at home and that a lot of people are feeling challenged by this time. Can you tell us a little bit about what the impetus was of making the variety show?
You know, we got shut down pretty quickly. Cy actually was here and she had to fly to Texas for a show. And when she got off the plane, they announced that everything was shut down. So she had to come back immediately. She came home and maybe like the next week, she decided that she was going to do a live show. It was going to be like on Facebook. So she was home maybe like, you know, a few days and was like, I'm doing a show. And I was like, that's awesome. Like, you know, keep moving, keep pushing. And this was still at the time when I thought, oh, we're going to be locked down maybe a month, month and a half, 2 months tops. Mm. And I was inspired by the fact that she just put on a show right here in the house, which she had done before. But this one was kind of like a, it was special because everything was kind of, she was kind of giving back and she needed to kind of flex her muscle.
I don't think I had really done one before.
You hadn't done one before?
I mean, I've done Facebook Lives, but I hadn't done like a show.
Like a show.
So this was an actual show where I had musicians, I had somebody on percussion and somebody on guitar. And so I did a show and I was like, I'm going to raise some money for this community center. And, you know, because I've always wanted to do something for them. And that's what I did. Like Sean said, we only thought we were going to be locked down for like a month or two, you know, tops. So I just thought, you know, well, I have some time. Let me do this show. And then
I was like, okay, that was great. She raised a bunch of money for the Fernando Pullum Center, music center for kids here in L.A. And my cogs were turning. Like after about a week or two of like sleeping in and, you know, drinking wine and eating food, like I was like, okay, this can get old real quick. I need to be doing something with my life that's productive. And what can I put out there? You know what I mean? She's done a show. What can I do? And I'd always wanted to do variety shows. Even as a kid, I was like, that's like the perfect vehicle to be able to sing, dance, act, whatever you want to do, juggle. I don't juggle or tap, but you know what I mean? If I could, I would have been able to do it as well. I said to Sai, I said, I have an idea. Maybe we should do like a variety show here from the house. And she was like, okay, like, she's always game to kind of just, you know, do whatever. So I was like, all right, I'm going to write some sketches and I'll just come up with some stuff, which I kind of did. I wrote a couple sketches and I was like, you know, we could have some live stuff. We could have some pre-recorded stuff. You could sing. I can play, you know, just fill it up with some stuff that we can do and put it out there. And so that's what we did. It took us about 2 weeks to kind of from first writing to shooting everything. I mean, I think I was still editing the morning of the show, as you know. You guys know how stuff like that.
Oh,
so I think we might have shot the last thing like the night before and I was up editing, but it was like fun. And there was such an adrenaline rush to kind of create, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it gave me a sense of purpose, which was really, really nice, which kind of helped to drive it, you know? And I definitely wanted it to be like a live show with an opening number, a closing number, bits in the middle, you know, and, you know, stuff with the dog, you know, try to add in some social media content, like, what can we do that would be interesting? Because I felt like we had a captive audience. And what better way to
literally
flex your muscles than to like take advantage of it? You know what I mean? Y'all ain't going nowhere, so.
Right. So sit on down, just relax. And it has such a good spirit to it. You can tell that you really are trying to not only just entertain, but just, I don't know, uplift people's spirit.
When he brought it to me, I was also like, I feel like we sort of missed the heyday, the golden era of variety shows. Yeah. We know about like Sonny and Cher, and I know that Flip Wilson's show was kind of a variety show, but I'm a little too young to really know those characters.
Yes.
But I remember that variety shows were a thing, and I was like, that could be really cool. You know, I'm always into sort of retro vintage, you know, revisiting, you know,
yes,
and making that something for the now.
I remember Carol Burnett in Rerun. Right?
I remember the Tim Conway show.
Tim Conway.
Because I felt like that came on before the Jeffersons or something.
Okay.
Right. But yeah. You know, but I still feel like I was too young to really understand.
Do y'all remember the Jacksons? The Jackson 5? The Jackson show?
I missed all that.
That was like for a summer, I think.
And I remember when he did that, I was like, man, this is something. Like, people should do these every now and then.
Cedric the Entertainer had one, too. Because I remember when it came on and I was living out here, I was like, this is so cool. I wish they were more successful nowadays. Back in the day, that was like a main form of entertainment. But right now, it seems like whenever someone does a variety show, it's very short-lived.
It's a one-off.
Yeah. And Living Color was...
Kind of. I feel like that's more sketch comedy, whereas variety shows are very, like, they have sketch comedy, but they...
With respect.
Yeah, and it's not so much of a cast as it is, you know, the two people or the one... You
and
know
we'll invite you on. We invite people to join us, to play with us.
Right. And I feel like there's something kind of special about that. Especially back in the day, it seemed like those performers had to be good at everything, you know?
Yes.
And so Sean's idea was like, oh, here's a chance to show everybody that we're kind of good at a lot of stuff. I'm down.
And you guys really, really are. You really are. Like, for you to sit down at the piano and play and sing, I really enjoyed the Tanzania trip. I thought that was such an interesting thing. Sean's back there producing it while y'all on vacation.
Is that like you guys travel together and Sean, you just have a camera?
this time around, Sean's camera was his iPhone. So it wasn't like that time in 2009 when we went to Italy and he wanted to shoot on film. And this time was a little, you know, actually a tad bit easier, I think. And just in general, in traveling, you want to just keep it tight. Keep it light. My wardrobe was even light. You know, I've worked that out. I've been able to, you know, go away for 30 days with one big bag, you know.
The key is you minimize your shoes. That's the key. The key is less shoes.
And you know what? You know,
black dress.
Warmer climates need less clothes. So, you know. That's
exactly.
And lots of sarongs and scarves.
Which blows in the wind, which is great.
Exactly. That's what I was,
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, like to that point of like the technology has changed so much where you can just take your iPhone and go, okay, put on a sarong. The wind is about to blow. I'm going to film it. And then you add some filters and it's like you can do so much more now without having to have all that equipment.
Yeah, it's true.
You're absolutely right about that. Yeah. You know. Right.
So this time I was way more aware of plotting out specific times to try to grab things and then for the rest of the time just leaving it alone. Yeah. So that I could also we could both just enjoy each other's company.
And that was great.
You know, so we had like dedicated days where we're like, okay, we're going to do performances. We're going to do a performance on this day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then the rest might be some catch you on a safari or something like that, or hop up on this rock and just give me like the chorus real quick. Like that's all I need, you know, 10 minutes. And then I'll put it away and like shoot invasive.
And we also have the language now to communicate better with, you know, with each other, what we need, you know, so I don't have to throw a tantrum, you know, anymore.
You can
I have the language to say, you know, I
stop.
I'm kind of done here.
I'm done here on this rock.
You know, I'm not feeling that I have anything left, babe, not today, you know, and that works.
And they're like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So I was curious that when you guys were making the variety show, did you feel like you had like a learning curve, you know, in creating something that was going to be pulled together for like a Facebook Live, for sort of a new medium of, and it's just the two of you doing it. What was the learning curve like? And like, what did you learn new?
There was new technology that we had to learn in terms of like streaming live. You know, we've always done them through Facebook Live, but the last one we actually went through an application called OBS, which allows you to switch cameras and stuff while you're in the actual, while you're actually doing it, which helped us kind of get the type of show that we wanted to from the very beginning, which was, you know, close-ups and different spaces, and the sound was much better the second show. You know, we had our friend Lunel, the comedian, saw the variety show and she reached out to us and we had this great conversation. And the one thing she said, she was like, y'all need to get your sound together.
Get the sound together.
Like, cause you sound like you're in your house.
Yep.
Like you don't want to sound like you're in your house. Nobody really, they know you're in your house, but you don't have to sound that
way. Right.
She was like, so get yourself a little board. This is what I got off Amazon for my live show. She sent me the link. You know what I mean? Little things like that.
Little things like that. Like
that really helped us up our game. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we put the sound, you know, like some college kids, but they probably do better than us.
And not even, you know, shout out to the veterans who reach out to us and give us tips. You know, I'm so thankful for Lunel and thankful for anybody who is already experienced, you know, that hits us up and says, hey, you know, this is what you do. Or you know, I'll call people, you know, who I see doing things and I'll be like, you know, Frank McComb, show me how to, you know, what's your mixer? Can you tell me what your thing is? You know, or whatever, because it really helps. That each one teach one thing is a real thing, you know. So the learning curve is expedited, you know, when we are, you know, able to speak to vets, you know.
Yeah.
Another learning curve we might have had was just, you know, in preparation, you know, like, you know, we sit down and have production meetings, you know. And
we schedule actual meetings.
Yeah.
We meeting. 2 o'clock today.
Yeah.
Right here.
And we show, we show up at 2 with our pen and paper and notepad and And then we'll give each other assignments, or he'll give, not each other, he gives me assignments. This is his operation. And, you know, and I'll try to work on that. And then, you know, the next meeting, either I have something or I don't, or, you know, I try to have what I'm supposed to have. Or if I can't have it, I'll let them know before, like, I'm having difficulty with this, you know, I think I need help with that, or I think we should switch lanes for this. Just, you know, I think over the course of 3 shows, that learning curve has also, you know, gone up a bit, like in a good way.
When you said stay in your lane, I feel like prior to this shutdown happening, we were all, I don't want to use to say forced, but we all just kind of stayed in our lane. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't get an opportunity to do everything that you could possibly do, like you didn't get those chances to try everything. Like if you were on that singing path, you kind of had to stick to that. And so maybe you weren't writing scripts. And if you were writing scripts, maybe you weren't trying your hand at acting. And with something like what you guys were doing, it seemed like it just allowed you to say, I'm just going to try everything and just give it a shot and feel free and comfortable enough to do it. And I'm in a safe environment to do it, you know?
Yeah, I think that was important because, you know, like I'd never really considered myself a writer per se, but then I looked up and, you know, 3 episodes in, I've written, you know, 5 sketches and, you know, short films and all these things. And it just happened. And so I can't not say that I'm a writer now at this point.
Right.
Like, yeah. Well, you know, right. You wrote it and people seem to like it. Like, you know, and, you know, in terms of, you know, also learning curves, learning camera angles, learning how to try to not do too many takes, like learn what you want, figure out how to get it as quickly as you can, because you know what, the light is moving and we got to change clothes and the dog is barking and the neighbor's going to be home soon.
And your actor is tired.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, but all that stuff comes into play and like how economical, learning how to be economical in your production and your time efficiency, mm-hmm. You know, all those people.
Right.
So what advice would you guys give to other creatives who are feeling sort of stuck or bound during this time in regards to furthering their creativity during this sort of very anxious time that we're in?
First off, I think if creatives are feeling stuck, but there's something that they've always wanted to do, but they've never done it, this is the time to try it out. This is the time to go on to YouTube and figure out how to use OBS so that you can present your work out to the world. Or this is the time to write the short sketch. And, you know, this is the time to work on your singing or to work on your piano work or to shoot a monologue or something like that. Because what else are you going to be doing? Unless you're working from home, you know what I mean? Unless you have a job that you need to work remotely, in which case you still have a 9-to-5 schedule that you have to stick to. But if not, do that because... Like she said, the community is out there to help you with any questions that you have. And when you try something, if it doesn't work, you ain't got to show it. You know what I mean? Like, if I was so nervous on the first thing that the film noir thing wasn't going to work, I was like, oh my God, I think we might have shot that like Tuesday night, you know, and the show was Thursday at 7. And I was like, I'm just going to scrap it. It's not going to work and all these things. But I had to push through my uncomfortability to get to the finish of that night so that then I could get up Wednesday and edit it. But once I finished that night, then I was like, ah, we did it. You have to push yourself through the point of uncomfortability so that you can get to that, ah, because that huh is the over the hump. So you get over another hump. That's how you build it up. You know what I mean?
That was one of the nicest, the film noir piece. Like, that was such a nice surprise. I'm like, how did they do all this?
Yeah, right here in the house, just in a camera or two.
Some old wigs and some new dresses. Yeah, you know, I think Sean is absolutely right. Everything he said, you know, now is the time to try things that you've always wanted to try. Now is the time to get in those, you know, 10,000 hours that you're supposed to get in, you know, of practice of whatever it is that you claim to do, you know. And that's not shade, you know. And you definitely have to push through that thing that says, I don't know if this is going to work. Mm-hmm. Because that thing is what stops all the other people, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. you're the one who's supposed to do it, you know. Right. That's what you claim to do, mm-hmm. you know. Right. So you can't let that stop, that you can't let that little thing that's in your head, the doubt, you know, stop you from even trying, right. you know, putting it out there.
And I think the other thing, too, why this has been so, and I'm still trying not to sound Pollyannish, be a Pollyanna about the pandemic. I think there's a certain amount of, like, for us or us Black people, that when we put something out there, it has to be really perfect. Like, we have no room to make mistakes. It's so rare that you get an opportunity to do these things. So you have to always kind of be perfect. And we don't get those chances to like really kind of mess up, you know, and that's how you learn how to do something new. You know, you take chances and trying to do. I think this whole pandemic, it's like, it's forced everyone who's doing it to go, you know, I don't know how to edit, but what the heck, I'm going to try it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to write, but you know what? I'm going to try it. Like, no harm, no foul. And so it's allowing people to kind of like let go of the whole thing that everything has to be so perfect.
Yeah.
And to just kind of, well, let's just try it and see what happens.
Yeah, you know? I think you're right. And I also think there might be a generational component to that too. You know,
yes.
Because there was a time where there were just, you know, a handful of platforms where we would have a place to put anything. And those platforms were networks or radio, you know.
Right.
And now, you know, people can make little movies on, you know, everything. TikTok, right. YouTube, yeah. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, right. Whatever, you know. And this generation, you know, these millennials and Gen Z, like, they don't care. They just put whatever out and see what works and see what doesn't, you know. And
right.
There's a fearlessness about that, even if it seems reckless, you know,
right.
And even if it seems sort of haphazard, but there's something to be admired for that fearlessness component,
yes.
You know, that I think Gen Xers could take from if they wanted to. Yeah. Sean likes to sort of set, you know, things for himself, like, let's do this every month or da 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 da. And so it took a moment for him to sort of come to grips with, you know what, maybe I should just do this when the feeling comes, you know, whereas I'm very much like, you know, just roll with your muse, you know, that's not a big deal, da 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 da, da, you know. So, to
which
that.
Which is new for me, because I was like, I let myself down and I was going to do it every month and what I
right.
Think, no.
Right.
Wah, wah.
So I'm totally cool with us doing whatever when it, you know, when the time is right. And I also know that what Sean does is way more involved than what I do as a singer. You know, I can just put up a show whenever I feel like putting up a show, you know, if I'm vocal, you know, if my voice is in check, you know.
Yeah.
So I've been able to put, you know, do shows like more regularly, I think,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
I've done like 4 or 5 shows on between Facebook and stages, mm-hmm. You know. Actually, maybe, and then Blues Alley, and then Andy Music,
mm-hmm.
And North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So I've probably done about 10. What the variety show is so much more involved, even though it's just two of us. There's a lot of moving parts. So.
Right, right.
But I think
each thing is like a different entity into itself. So it's not like you're doing all film noir.
Right.
Pick up that skill set. It's like, okay, now we're going to do something futuristic. Well, that's going to be something that's totally different. So then you got to figure all that out.
Which is the fun part. I mean, that's the fun part for me because, like, you know, when I'm doing specific types of work, like, I watch film noir. Like, I, you know, I'm a movie freak anyway, so I can sit up and watch stuff. But when I have a reason to watch something,
right,
I get even more excited. I'm trying to see, like, what's the thing that makes this thing that thing? Find little bits here and there. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and I was watching Variety. I was watching Carol Burnett and, you know, and Diane Carroll and all the other great variety shows just to get an idea of, like, why is a variety show? Why is it different?
Why does it work?
Why does it work? Mm-hmm. And when does it not work? Let me try to, you know, whittle it down to 3 to 5 minutes so that, you know, then we move on to something else, which is always good for me. Like moving from one thing to the next thing is fun because it keeps me from getting bored.
You know, Sean is not only, you know, directing and writing and editing, you know, just the mere conception of these things is energy. You know, so I'm just proud that you are able to do that and not get exhausted to the point of giving up. You know, like it's a lot. It's a lot of work. So mm-hmm. To all the creatives out there, you know, don't begrudge yourself if you get tired, you know, and a lot of times, you know, what you're doing at home and what we end up doing ourselves are the jobs of 5, 6, 7, 8 people. We have to remember that when we're doing all of these new things, you know, in our homes and remember to be patient with ourselves, you know, through all of this, you know, because it's fun. And we're having a good time and we put things out there and making people smile and all that, but it's a lot of work. We gotta be gentle with ourselves.
Be gentle with yourself mm-hmm. and each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if you're working with someone, like we've had to learn how to be like, okay, I might get a little barky and be like,
right.
I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to, you know.
And I might get hot.
You know what I mean? So we've learned how to work with each other so much because we work together a lot. In
right.
the past, but it's been like she's been the artist and I've been the director.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's been the
right.
singer and I've been directing the videos and stuff like that. And she's
right.
always really kind of just, you know, deferred to me for a lot of things. But because we're doing it together, even though I might be conceptualizing things and directing, like she still has ideas that are way, way valid and oftentimes better than mine. You know what I mean? So it's like you have to be open to your partner and what your partner's bringing to the table. Understand that we're all going through stuff. You know what? You might need to take a minute and just step back and say, you know what? We're not going to finish this today.
Right.
You know, or finish what you have to because the setup is here. But then we might take a couple days off. And be like, you know what? I'll get back to something else. Let's just get back to like chilling, having dinner and like watching movies. And...
I don't know where this is headed, but I'd like to find out.
And we'll be right back after a brief word from our sponsors.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSMusical.com.
Hello, it's Alistair Justin Black from Theatre in the Black. While in quarantine, I just finished reading the audacious and hilarious novel entitled Shady by Blaine Teemer. And I'm trying to decide now where to place it in my vast collection of books. You see, it has deception and psychological tension and all the evil of a classic thriller. It's part Walter Mosley and part Agatha Christie mystery novel. But in Silver Whodunit, it's more like a whodundidit. Nah, spinning a tale of deceit, sex, humor, and race, Teemer brings us the story of a southern town called Shady, where evil is not easy to get rid of. Go today to Amazon or wherever you order books online and get Shady.
That's the scariest I've ever been.
And we're back with Sean Carter Peterson and Cy Smith talking about creating art and new music during the pandemic.
In regards, Cy, I know you have new music out. When did that start? Did the creation of that start during the pandemic?
So that's a good question. I have a song called Perfect Love that I did with my friend Rachel Eckroft.
Perfect love.
She actually started that song like a year and a half ago, and she had hit me up because we were on tour together with Chris Foti, and she played it for me and she was like, hey, I want you to help me write this song. And then we just never got to it. And then fast forward to March or April, she hit me back and was like, hey, remember that song I played for you? Do you have time to work on it now? Like, yeah, I do. And so the quarantine, you know, the shutdown was the catalyst behind us getting that done. So I recorded, you know, I wrote my little part and recorded it and sent it back to her. And I didn't know that it was going to become what it became. Like, she was like, oh, I'm about to take these vocals and mix them. And she took, you know, got it mixed and added all this stuff and produced the hell out of it and sent it back to me. And I was like, this is the bomb. We should make a video. And she was like, okay. And so she wrote this video concept and found a guy who sort of is an editor in Colombia, Bogota, right?
Isn't that crazy?
And so I was like, yeah, well, shoot, maybe we could shoot this. You know, I think Sean could shoot this. You know, we have a green screen. Yeah, all of the shutdown is what really drove us creatively, because we were just sitting at home, literally doing nothing. I don't think Rachel had ever written a video treatment before. You know, and I certainly had never done my own makeup for one, you know, like, we all took a crash course. You know, Sean went online and found some things that we needed to learn how to do for the shoot, you know, like floating technique for the green screen and all that kind of stuff. You know, we just kind of all took crash courses and things to make that happen. And it was a lot of fun. And it was sort of that first one, some of those first steps that I took personally in expanding creativity during this pandemic, you know, in a good way. Yeah, thanks for asking.
One of the things that I think was a catalyst for Indira and I is that we started this with Sean before the pandemic started. Mm-hmm. I know as Indira and I have been working on it, there's been so much civil so many things going on beyond the pandemic, so much civil unrest. And so there was a lot of conversations back and forth about, you know, what should we be creating as artists during this moment? Should it be speaking to what's going on right now? Mm-hmm. And for me, it's like, no, I think whatever you create in this moment speaks.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree wholeheartedly. Because I think if you try, you know, to speak, it might come off a bit, you know, yeah.
Anyways, yeah.
I think whatever's on your heart is what is the truth. So, yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
I told you, Indira. No.
You be right. You be right sometimes. You be saying stuff that's halfway right sometimes. But guys, thank you so, so much for joining us for the Afro Existential Podcast. Yay. We're so happy you came. Thank you.
And I love what you guys are doing, both of you. Thanks for the, you know, podcast, and just thanks for being creative who are out here, you know, doing inspiring work.
That completes another episode in our Creating Art in Crisis series. We hope it inspired you as much as it did us. You can also visit us at afroexpodcast.com. That's afroexpodcast.com. And on Instagram at afroextheater. Until then, have a great day on purpose.
It makes it easier to do what must be done.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.